Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. And good evening, everybody. This is Will Blue Otter coming to you. Sorry about the delay, but things seem to be lagging a little bit tonight on this old computer. And we're going to be talking with the Badger, and he's some good information about all kinds of neat stuff. And, oh, yeah, there he is. Hey, say hello, Mark.
Hi.
How's it going this evening?
Oh, okay.
Well, I understand the last 2-3 weeks or so, you've been sending me some really interesting stuff about some things that you've been looking into, and I figured, oh, you know, it's time to check in with Mark and see what he's up to, and we'll see if we can get some other folks to join us. If you'd like to call in tonight and get a free Mayan birth reading, the number to call is 347-996-3318. 347-996-3318. And so what, you and I have been talking about Virgin Guadalupe and White Buffalo, and a lot of stuff's been going on here lately in the sky above us and the earth beneath, and so you've been noticing a lot of it. So what do you got for us?
Well, I think a lot of us are getting different messages in different ways and watching things. You know, so whatever I'm talking about tonight, you know, people have already been kind of getting messages from Creator if they're paying attention and listening. And, you know, some of those people may have, you know, information to share as well. So, you know, people can call into any of our shows sometimes and talk about whatever's coming to them as well. So it's always good to, no matter how much, you know, there's other people talking, me or anybody else, it's always good for people to, you know, check in with Creator themselves and learn to make their own connection. You know, even the Hopi elders talk about that, you know, how you're supposed to maintain an open door, a kapavi, with Creator, especially as transition of world cycles, because they said that's going to be your key to get the guidance on what you need to do. And so everybody can, you know, sit there and, like it says, ask and you'll receive. But there's a little catch in there, and that is it's best to ask with a humble heart. You get a lot further that way. So Well, some of the information shared tonight will be kind of about the tie-in between the White Buffalo Calf Woman, the Virgin of Guadalupe, and also the Hopi's Spider Woman. Because from a certain perspective, they're all the same. And all of them, if you look at their messages, each one of them has something to do with the transition from one world cycle to the next. And in the Virgin Guadalupe one is a little bit somewhat unique because we have the image that was left behind. And that image is actually almost really a document of past, present, future, and an awful lot of things. So it's a little bit special in terms of we have an image that she apparently was involved in creating and appearing to tell us something. But a lot of that image has an awful lot of native viewpoint and perspective on it. To really understand the image very well, you kind of have to have their understanding of colors, directions, all kinds of stuff that come into play that symbolically link to all kinds of other things through that image. So I actually did a couple DVDs. I did one back about, how many years ago, about 2005, the first one. And I did another one right after whole 2012 thing. I didn't do it before 2012 because I didn't want to be riding the bandwagon on that. So I did it around, I think I finished in February 2013, something like that. That particular, the second DVD, went in a lot and talked about the connection between Spider-Woman of the Hopi and Zuni and the down there in Mexico and the Virgin of Guadalupe and her image and how that related to the Spider-Woman's twins, which are sitting at the North and South Pole. And those twins, the Hopi say, and not just the Hopi, but others as well, say that, you know, when things are getting ready to happen and, you know, our world is kind of greed and corruption and all that's running amok and just screwing up the whole planet, you know, Creator sometimes steps in and tells the twins at the poles to let go a little bit. And when that happens, we see earthquakes, volcanoes, weather changes, all kinds of stuff. You know, it gets our attention a little bit. Hopi elders said when your crops fail and all these things because of weather and that you have to look at yourself and see what you're doing wrong.
Yeah.
In other words, Creator's giving you a warning, right? Well, we've been getting lots of warnings for a long time. Now, in the third world, the Hopi said that things got so out of hand, so out of control, that Creator cut their cycle of time short. And, you know, the second command comes into Creator and says, well, you know, why are you doing this? Why is the thread of time being cut short? And Creator says, because if I do not stop it now, there might not be any good people left. So we're seeing a lot of signs.
Almost sounded like they were reading the Bible, or it says that the things are going to get so bad that unless things are cut short, there won't be anybody left alive.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Even you know, even in the apocalypse, it says that. You know, he says, "Well, you know, is there going to be anybody left when I come back?" So now the twins of the Spider Woman are symbolized by the North and South Poles, or the magnetic fields of our planet. And right now, we know those magnetic fields are weakening substantially. We know that because we're seeing readings of people with measuring the UV radiation coming in, specifically UVB and C, hitting the ground, and those are increasing at substantial levels. One guy, he took a reading with a meter, measures UVA, which doesn't hurt us very much really at all. It's okay. And there's B and C, those are the two that do the damage. Well, normally, whatever the reading of UVA type radiation is, the UVB would be about 5% of that.
Yeah.
Well, he just recently put up a video, and he showed a meter that showed around 4 or so for the UVA, and then for UVA and B combined, it was around a 10 point something. So the difference was 6. That means the UVB was 6, which means it was 150% of the UVA, not 5%.
Mm.
That's a problem. That's where things like the Inuit Indians saying seal hides and animal skins and stuff is being burned by the radiation. We're seeing reports, too, of planes. You know, American Airlines, I think it was last summer or somewhere a while back, started restricting how many the pilots could only fly across the Pacific maybe once a month. Things about their saying that their cockpit glass, plastic, some kind of plastic stuff, wouldn't really protect them against UV radiation. And
wow.
Maybe they wanted to wear some sunscreen.
Wow.
There's also stories that just come out recently about the planes going into fatigue, metal fatigue, and the planes themselves weakening because of the radiation.
Wow.
There's people that have been carrying radiation meters up on the planes with them and measuring radiation, especially when the plane gets, you know, above 25,000 feet. Well, you know, you're going to get a lot more radiation up there. So there's all kinds of things that are telling us that the amount of radiation coming in, and it's not just UV, you also get cosmic radiation, solar radiation, and all the other stuff. So the UV is just one indicator. So what that one thing is telling us is our magnetic fields and all that is something that protects us from radiation. So if there's more coming in, that tells us that our magnetic fields are substantially weakening. And the Hopi story, you know, the creator tells the two guys at the poles to let go a little bit, and then your weather and all that goes amok. If you don't listen, at one point the creator just simply tells them to let go completely. That's when the Hopi say, you know, things like the earth rolling over and all this other stuff happens. So these things that we see with the magnetic fields are very important indicators, the signs that we see on the ground, because they continue. If we see these increasing, they tell us we're getting in dangerous territory. Last time we talked, we mentioned No Eyes, Indian lady back in the 80s that talked about earth changes and stuff. And one of the things that she said is she said when you see green skies for, you know, several days, she says, you know, you're not too far away from the big stuff coming at you, you know. And I think she was talking maybe a few days to a few weeks. So she wasn't talking about months or years. She was talking, when you see those green skies, you don't have a whole lot longer till all hell breaks loose. Now, green skies like that, would be, and she didn't, those you can see up at the northern light, the aurora borealis, you can see them up in Sweden and Norway right now when the Earth's upper atmosphere and magnetic fields and all that interaction, you can see them. You can see green, you know, flowing cloud-like stuff up there. But they stay real far north. What No Eyes is talking about is when those things come all the way down to Texas and where you can see them at night.
Yeah.
And they're bright. And maybe even possibly during the daytime. If you see that, according to her, you don't have much time left till, you know, you better, if you haven't moved already, you better start packing. So now her other predictions have been pretty spot on. So that's the reason I share what she said, because I have a feeling it may be true. And it also ties in with the magnetic fields. Now, we know the magnetic fields are also connected to something else called torsion fields. And torsion fields are the interaction, and in a way, they're both the same thing. But torsion fields are the way that Creator actually manifests our reality. So there's the string. You're literally getting pulled by this, the threads and the strings and the light and the torsion fields and stuff that's directly connected to Creator. So he has a handle on that pretty good. When he yanks that, all of creation responds real fast. So if this occurs, and, you know, people, if we keep seeing increases in UV radiation, we start seeing things like planes failing, then you, because they're fatiguing, and them having to replace and buy new planes, okay? And you see more instances where, oh, something happened to a plane. Then you kind of have to ask, well, why? Is it a radiation problem? There's two sources of radiation problems. One is Fukushima, and the other one is UV and other radiation coming through the magnetic fields, both of those. And those will affect us on the ground, affect the plants, affect the trees, affect the animals. So if you start seeing plants burning up, animals getting burn marks on their hides and things like that in increasing frequencies, and changes in animal and people behavior, that's one of the things the Hopi elders also talked about, changes in behavior of people. Even the Mayans recorded that as well. You know, when you see people just losing it, just starting to go nuts, you know, that's and not all nuts at one time, but gradually worse and worse and worse. Kind of like, you know, people at a full moon. Most of us don't have a problem with that, but some people do. So those types of things are going to be indicators that we're getting closer and closer and closer to what Noah said of the time of the green skies. When that occurs, we probably just have a few days, maybe a couple of weeks, possibly, according to her, until, you know, we start seeing major land shifts, you know, where we start seeing not just a sinkhole, but a massive sinkhole, you know, that swallows not just a house, but maybe a, you know, several city blocks, or maybe the whole city, or maybe a whole section of a state or something like that, when, if the plates start moving. And we could have things like the ground literally liquefying, you know. And when that happens, you know, you don't have anything to stand on. So it can be pretty big problem. This also ties in with what Sister Lucia, one of the child visionaries at Fatima, said. One of her indicators that World War II would break out was that there would be a light in the sky and it would be seen, and right after you saw that, World War II. Well, on January 25th, 1938, there was a massive aurora borealis, went all the way into southern Europe. It was not green, it was red, and, you know, night of red skies, and they said it was so bright that you could actually read a newspaper outside at midnight.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, there were people all over Europe, you know, falling on their knees and begging for mercy because they thought it was, you know, this is it. This is the end of the world. They're going to die. You know, they didn't die. But 6 or 8 weeks later, guess what? Tanks rolled and World War II started.
Yeah.
Well, so that was, there's an example, again, of an aurora borealis event being a sign or a triggering thing, just like what Noah said of green skies. Now, Sister Lucia, a guy, Antonio Sosi, that wrote about it, apparently here in the last year or so, he visited a convent where Sister Lucia was at, and he got a hold of part of her diary. And there was a part in there in the diary where back in the 1940s, Sister Lucia was being asked to write the third secret down because she almost died of pleurisy. And so it wasn't written down, so they said, well, you need to write it down. So she said, well, I will do it, but you have to order me to do it under a vow of obedience. So they said, okay, we order you to do it, you know. So she wrote it down, but it took her about, oh, I don't know, 9 days, 14 days, or something like that. She couldn't write it down very fast, and she'd written down a lot of things that were pretty bad. So people wondered, why was it so difficult for her to write it down? Well, there's a diary entry in her diary that talked about this particular time frame and an apparition that appeared to her by Virgin Mary that told her to write it down. And in that diary entry, she talked about a lance thing that comes down, touches the axis of the earth, then she said the earth shakes, mountain cities, towns, and villages with all the people are buried. The sea, rivers, and clouds leave their bounds. So the seas, your rivers, your clouds, the sky itself, they leave their bounds, they overflow, flood, and drag with them into a massive whirlpool, houses and people in a number unable to be counted. And then she goes on and says, it's the purification of the world. Well, this matches pretty much what the Hopi said. They said Purification Day. And John Paul II, when he was at Fulda, Germany with some traditional Catholics, they asked him about the third secret, and he said something about oceans overflowing onto land. So these would all be triggered. And listen, remember what Sister Lucia wrote here. Touches the axis of the earth. So she's indicating something right there. The axis, the poles of the earth, where Spider Twins, Spider Woman's twins are at, like the Hopi said, that govern the axis of the earth. She's talking about the axis of the earth being affected, and thus our magnetic fields. So we have several points here of people saying things that are telling us basically all the same thing. And we see increasing signs with our UV radiation, our weather changes, our animal changes, all the other stuff going on that, you know, you might want to pay attention. Now, the Guadalupe is as another way of looking at Spider Woman, because if you look down at Teotihuacan, where the Pyramid of the Sun, Temple of Quetzalcoatl, Pyramid of the Moon, and all that is at. There's actually some murals down there of Spider Woman. And on my second DVD that I made on Guadalupe, I show that mural, and I show how there are symbols on that mural that directly correlate to the Guadalupe image and why it's important, what the meaning is of that, and how it ties back into Quetzalcoatl as well. If you look on the Guadalupe Tilma, one of the most important symbols that's on there is right underneath her pregnancy sash. And there's a four-petal flower on there. And that four-petal flower has so many meanings, it's unbelievable. One of the meanings of it is you can lay that four-petal flower right on top of the sunstone, the Aztec sunstone, what they call the sunstone.
Uh-huh.
You can lay it right on top of it, and it'll map right on top of the Nahui Olin symbol that's in the center of the sunstone that has the world ages.
Wow.
It directly connects to that. In fact, if you understand it right, if you the Nahui Olin, Nahui means four, and Olin is movement, thought, movement, consciousness. And that's, again, the magnetic fields and the torsion fields is one meaning of it. So it's how those magnetic fields and torsion fields relate to the change and shifting of world ages. The four, the Nahui Olin or four Olin or four Kaban in Mayan speak. Also, if you look in the center of it, it'll be a sun face. And the four would be four sun or four flower, which is what that symbol is on her womb on the Telma underneath the pregnancy sash. It's called for a howl or for a flower. So that's actually on the sunstone itself. If you look in the mouth on the sunstone in the center, he has a little tekpatl or etznab symbol in his mouth. So the four and owl connect to the four etznab or four tekpatl in the Aztec speak. That is the day in the Mayan calendar that particular image of Guadalupe appeared on. So it's recorded.
Wow.
These two are intimately linked together. If you look around the ring on that sunstone, there'll be these 46 little symbols that look exactly like the symbol that's over her womb on the Tilma, on the Guadalupe Tilma image that appeared to Juan Diego. Okay, there's 46 of those on that sunstone. There are exactly 46 stars on her mantle that she's wearing on the Guadalupe image. So the Guadalupe Tilma image and that Sunstone image, this is just one way that they're linked. There's multitudes of ways, and I go into that in depth on both of my DVDs, cover it quite a bit, more than I can probably do in the show, because I can't show you visuals. I can't show you the images I can do with the DVD. So I'm just trying to do it by words here. So the point of it is that, you know, she's connected to Spider-Woman, and she's connected to the world cycles, and that symbol under her, now if you look, that's a pregnancy sash, and that four-petal flower. Now that four-petal flower, I've already mentioned how it relates to the Nali Olin, our particular world cycle, the fifth world, or our fifth sun, I should say, because the Hopi use a little bit of different terminology, because they say we're in the fourth world. So, fifth sun, fourth world. Now, this particular symbol also connects into many, many other things. If you look at the Hopi Fire Clan stone tablet, not the Bear Clan tablets, but the Fire Clan, on the upper left corner, as you're looking at it, there will be a little, like a swastika symbol. If you take that symbol, flip it over, reverse it, because you have two of them, one moving clockwise and one moving counterclockwise, the two magnetic fields, north and south pole, so they're reversed. If you take that, that's the one for, that one's going one direction. If you take it, reverse it, and then you overlap them on top of each other, you're going to get a symbol that looks just like what's over her womb on the Guadalupe image.
Wow.
Same symbol.
Wow.
And it means suns, it means world ages, it means lots of different things. It also ties in with the Lakota elder Nicholas Black Elk, his vision.
Uh-huh.
If you go read his vision very carefully, I can't remember exact words. He's talking about a healing herb and a flowering stick, and I can't remember which one of them. But one of those two, at some point, he breaks it down and talks about the four colors. Well, that imagery that he's talking about right there is also going to connect directly back to that symbol, four-petal flower symbol on her, over her womb on the Guadalupe Tilma image. So it's going to connect into Black Elk's vision. It's going to also connect into White Buffalo Calf Woman, because in White Buffalo Calf Woman, there's a star map that's on the Guadalupe image. There's actually two of them. And there was a Father Mario and a Dr. Eliscus, who was an astronomer. And they worked together, and they determined that the stars that are on the Tilma's mantle are actually the stars in the position of the sky on the day that that image appeared, December 22nd, 1531.
Wow.
What they didn't know is many native things, there is usually two maps. And they found the first one. In my second DVD on Guadalupe, I disclosed the second map. And the second map is a very specific area of the sky. And the most prominent part of it that's going to relate is going to be the stars of the Big Dipper. Now, those particular stars, I know that to you, Blue, are probably going to be interesting, because those stars of the Big Dipper appear on the Cherokee and Mexico logo or flag.
Yep. And the old Cherokee clan flags had it also.
Right.
And by the way, Lisa's got a question for you. Go ahead, Lisa.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
Hi. I've just been listening to you, and I just wanted to mention that I have both of your DVDs, which I thought were really great, so I just wanted to compliment you on that. I just think you're brilliant, and there's so much information packed into these things.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. The question I had is whether you're planning to do a third one, and if you are, what type of information you'd be putting into it.
Well, yeah, I'm being sort of moved in that direction right now. I'm really kind of working against it. in a way, and even the second one, I didn't really want to do it. I was kind of pushed into doing it. Even the first one, sort of. But third one, the way I see it unfolding right now, is, and the reason I'm really, the third one, I'm even more hesitant, because the third one's pushing me in a direction and unveiling some things about Guadalupe that it has more of a personal connection. In the first two DVDs, I pretty much stayed clear of it. Third one, there's really no way around it, I don't think. And I don't want it to really be about me, but in some ways it is. And the third one will get into something that was talked about in the second one, but in even more depth. Well, about the four flower symbol and some of the way it ties in with the patterns of creation.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And what the third one will go into quite a bit is how the Telma has essentially one aspect of it is a mathematic prophecy. And this is provable by certain sacred geometry and mathematical measurements, not just once, but multiple times, interlocking the whole Telma itself. In both very precise mathematics, where you literally take things and overlap it, and it fits, and things are connected together by very certain specific numbers and symbology. And most of them are tied in to the Mayan Zolk'in itself, and also to a change or a shift in the Mayan Zolk'in calendar. And it appears that part of the information that's on the Telma is giving a very precise mathematical prophecy about a change in the Zolk'in calendar itself that will change by a pattern that Creator uses. And it is connected on the Telma to where she's looking at. So if you drew a straight line through that four flower symbol over a womb on the Telma from mantle to mantle, okay, that would symbolize the Mayan Zolk'in calendar itself. And that four flower symbol would be an exact mathematical position for the day called for a how or four flower in their calendar. Now, if you took and extended that by a certain math outward towards where her eyes are looking, it will match into position into a change in the Zolk'in calendar mathematics. And then if you slide that back to the, it will cover from sun ray to sun ray from left to right, indicating that the rays around her on that image are basically a prophecy of the sixth sun. So if I do a third DVD, it'll go into all this, and it will go into how those measurements connect many, many of the star patterns that are on the Telma itself. That's a very, I mean, when you see it, it's unbelievable. Even I was kind of going, wow. And I'm just trying to, I've got a lot of notes and a lot of stuff written down, so it's just a matter of transferring that all and going into work on video. So I don't know. If I get it done, I'm estimating if I start on it, which will probably take, it'll probably take me longer to get started than it will take to do it. It'll probably take 2 or 3 months to do it once I get started. Question if I get motivated to do it or not.
I think you should, and you know, just knowing that we're all connected, and even putting information that's personal to you in it connects to everybody. It connects to Creator. It connects to everybody.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you how it connects to me, and that is back in 1997, I had a series of things happen. And one of them was I had this one vision of White Buffalo Kefelman. And on her, it was of her dress, and there was a symbol, and it was a symbol that's sitting about the same location as that four flower symbol on the Telma, but it wasn't a four flower symbol; it was a circle of colors, and it had an anomaly on it. one of the it had the yellow, the each of the races, color of the races, blue, white, red, yellow, and then a green spot, and it also had, in the blue, it had a brown spot breaking the blue in half, and that was the anomaly, and I didn't know what it meant for years, you know. Around 2008, I was sitting there on, like, December 8th, and finally I was looking at my journal where I draw a picture of this thing, and I said, you know, what the hell does this mean? What does this damn circle mean? Well, in about 5 seconds, you know, it was like a spirit came in and told me, connect the brown part to the green part on the opposite side of the circle. Draw a line like pie slices through there and connect the two together. So I did that, and when I did it, I saw it formed a tree. And it was a tree tilted pretty much at the same angle as the axis of the Earth. World tree, world axis, and I go, oh. Well, you can take that symbol and you can overlay it on top of that symbol on the tilma, and it gives a lot more information. Well, that was the first thing that happened. The day that vision happened to me in the Mayan calendar was actually 9-eek. Blue otters burst.
Is that right? Wow.
Yeah. You can look it up. It was, and 9 years later, that was on the, it was in the evening. 9 years later, between that and that same day, so from August 24th to 25th, that's August 24th is transitioning August 25th, it was recorded on August, during that period of time, in 2006, the white buffalo calf named Miracle Second Chance was born. In Janesville, Wisconsin. Well, shift, so that's the first thing to happen to me, this vision is a circle of colors, right? That I found out ties to the axis of Earth. Magnetic fields, axis of Earth. Then, December 9th, I get the second thing to happen to me. December 9th, which is the traditional Eastern Orthodox in the Eastern Orthodox Church, that's the traditional feast day for the apparition of Immaculate Conception of Virgin Mary. It is also the recorded date that the first apparition of Juan Diego, December 9th, 1531, because they were still using the old calendar that hadn't been fixed yet. So it was December 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th was when, according to their calendar, that the Guadalupe apparition occurred. Well, on that day, I was woken up and I was given a name and told to write it down. So I did that. So that tied in White Buffalo Calf Woman to Guadalupe. The third thing that happened was in February of 1998, just a few months later, I was given essentially what amounts to that change in the Mayan calendar, the one that apparently the Guadalupe image appears to be mathematically prophesizing. And this is somewhat provable by mathematics if you know what to look for on the image. And so that is the personal connection. So for me, it's pretty startling to look at this image and find it is making a connection with all these things that have been unfolding in my life. And for it not just to be something where, you know, she appears and she gives you an apparition and you tell other people and they have to, say, well, you know, they either believe you or not what you're saying, right? The difference is, in this case, I've been given something where, because I don't go for that, because if someone comes and tells me about some apparition, yeah, I might believe them. But how do I know? You know, how do you really know? No matter how good they, you know, make it sound, how do you know? Well, in this case, it's, you know, so I have something which appears to be mathematical evidence and proof through that image itself. And it's very precise. And so that's an aspect that the third DVD might get into, is that precision, the mathematical aspect or prophecy of that image and how it ties in with the shifting. What does that mean? I'm not sure, because if what I've been given is true, and some of these shows I've been doing, some of these birth readings, when I say I'm using a forward flow and a backward flow of time and unity and all that stuff, when I'm doing that part of the reading, I'm using the new Zolkin that she gave me. I do two things in these readings. I do a Mayan calendar reading, but then I shift gears and go into a new Zolkin. That's where forward, backward flow of time and the unity flow of time. That's using the new one. Now, I just found out, I don't know, within this last year, that according to the Zuni tribe, a long time ago when there was a change on Earth, they say that Spider Woman appeared or communicated, I guess, telepathically or spiritually to some guy that was in their Dogwood clan, which is, I guess, one of their important clans. And she actually gave him information about how to fix the calendar or change in the calendar. But I believe that change was to the solar calendar, not to the Zolkin calendar. What I was given is a change to the Zolkin calendar. That's a little bit different. So what does that mean in terms of the change in world cycles? What it seems to be telling me is something, when we go through this change, something different is going to happen. It's not going to be just the same old change as what's happened before on world cycles. There's going to be something a little bit different this time. This even comes up in the Hopi story on their emergence story, because they talk about the four worlds. And what's interesting is the fourth world, I can't pronounce the word in Hopi because I can't pronounce their language very well. But they were told the name of this fourth world is like Tuwakachi or something like that. And that word means world complete. In other words, it's implying here in the Hopi story that there's something different about the way our fourth world completes. There's something different about it in the previous world cycles. So, and that seems to fit with what I was given, because there would be something different happening if the Zolkin calendar changed, and it's changing by the geometry and the mathematics that's recorded on the Telma Guadalupe image itself. Well, that caught my eye when I saw that. Because when I was first given this new Zolkin calendar change, after a while I thought, well, you know, maybe I'll just pitch it in the trash because, you know, how do I know this is real or not, right? It'd just be a figment of my imagination, right? Until I learned that if you took the Mayan calendar and you grew it by the same pattern of creation that Creator uses to grow things and is all over the place, you would get what I was given. Well, that got my attention. You know, I thought, this actually might be real. What does that mean? That means that, you know, when you see a plant or you see different life all the way down to our DNA, there's this pattern, this mathematical pattern. And so it governs how everything moves and grows outward, radiates, blooms, grows, whatever you want to call it. And this is a very special mathematical relationship, because it's the only way to do this, moving outward, away from Creator, but at the same time maintaining a unity back to Creator. There's only one way to do it, and it's this way. And that way is exactly what I was given, taking the Mayan calendar and growing and extending it outward. It's the same way. It's the same way galaxies unfold, flowers unfold. They now know in quantum science where as light is, particles or corpuscles of light are moving, when they can see in the frequencies the same pattern as the light is becoming photons or quantum particles or whatever, and then becoming matter.
Wow. Hey, Mark? Can you take another question?
Sure.
Okay, you've got a caller from area code 575. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
This is Abril Mondragon for your neighbor over here in New Mexico. It's wonderful, your show, what you're sharing here today. And I wanted to just say that I don't know, I've been involved in the, I'm calling it the Danza de la Mariposa or this enchanted flower. I met Mark because of that. That, and there is something very electromagnetic with this. And so I've been writing as well about what I'm finding out about it, but not through how mathematically and like how Mark does. I'm just living with this energy. And I wanted to say that I guess, it's almost a little over a year ago, a couple of grandmothers received a vision about this enchanted flower that Mark is talking about. And that vision was incorporated this last year at our local Taos Sundance by Basil Braveheart, who's been a Lakota intercessor for Sundances for 28 years. And he came down here and he said, yes, this is quantum. This is quantum information. And he said, this is important that we see these symbols that have been given to us, that we actually live these things that are coming through, how they're coming through us and what we're receiving. So I wanted to really express my gratitude to Mark, because I agree with him that through each world that we have gone through, it has been a different world. And the Hopis know this. And there are 9 known worlds that the Hopi know, and we're going into the 5th world part. We are already in the new sun, but there is that world, and I feel really I don't need proof outside of myself to know the knowing intuitively inside myself to know that Mark, him looking at how he's reading the calendar of time, space, and how we are cosmologically, because we're cosmologically made of earth and sky. And for him to be, this is part of the reason why I really like Mark's work, is because of the way he's reading things with past, present, and future in the now, right now. You know, and he's able to do that. And I have not met a Mayan calendar reader that could do that. So I also would like to ask, how do I get a hold of those DVDs? Because I haven't seen them. I've been writing about the Danza de la Mariposa, or that the butterfly you're talking about, as energy, electro, mm-hmm. or the positive, negative. It's not even positive and negative. It's just, it's energy. You can call it masculine, feminine, yin, yang, whatever. But it literally puts you inner and interconnected energetically in a state of wholeness. The Diné have the word hojo, beautiful. You are whole and beautiful. And when we're at our center, and different things have come up this year as well, that I've talked to some different elders in the world, and we're looking at what does it mean to be going into another world. What does it mean to go through change? But we're looking at that birthing energy, the birthing energy of what that transition means for us. Because while the old ends, there is a new beginning. And in that new beginning, we have to consider that Mother Earth and all that feminine energy in the cosmos is literally pregnant at this point. Pregnant. And so I speak about many of the same things that Mark does, but from a grandmother's perspective. And so I also know that what I found out by going into the southern region again this year is that for whatever reason, this butterfly has something to do so much with the electromagnetic energy that it has to do with lightning as well. And so my question would be to Mark, and I'll probably Facebook him and say, hey, okay, here's where I'm at with my blogs. take a look at what I'm writing in regard to lightning and water and its balance with the fire energy, because we've got a lot of, you know, the prophecies talk about the Red Star Kachina and everything, you know, burning up, what Mark was talking about. But we can trace this burning up since the splitting of the atom. When we really think about it, we have seen it in all these disasters of our burning fossil fuels, burning our mother's organs up, nuclear energy, Fukushima. I mean, go back to dropping the bomb on Japan. This is all that is how. And we've had many indications that there have been meteors flying by us that appear to be red. What are these warnings telling us? Hey, you guys, stop, because as above, so below, as below, so above, kind of thing. We're bringing our own disaster on ourselves if we don't change. So, yeah, if you could let me know how to get the DVDs. And if
Well, send me a message on Facebook.
I will.
We'll coordinate getting those sent to you.
Thank you.
And on the lightning, go look at Teotihuacan. There's a mural there of Spider Woman, and there's butterflies all over that mural. And one of the ways you look at that symbol on the Guadalupe image underneath her sash is it looked like a four-petal flower, but you can also look at it as a butterfly.
Well, I've seen those, but you're talking about Teotihuacan.
There's a mural there. There's a mural of Spider Woman there, and there's actually two of them there, and one of them is like an emergence mural. You'll see it'll have her with a mask on, like, and then on the two sides of her will be the two twins, north and south, like the Hopi, and then underneath there's this kind of like something that looks like a volcano, and there's like people coming out of it. That's like the ant hill in the Hopi story, and then emergence. And they're just kind of coming out of it. And around them are butterflies.
Ah.
All over the place. And there's actually a Quetzal butterfly down there at Teotihuacan as well. And Teotihuacan, that symbol that's on her womb, over her womb on the tilma, underneath the sash, underneath the pyramid of the sun, there is actually a cave that's shaped exactly like that. And it's believed to be that cave was probably there well before all those pyramids and all that stuff was built. And is some people believe that it is either symbolic or could actually be the original emergence place of the seven caves. Because there's four of them, and then it comes out to opening on the west side of the pyramid. And there's two other little ones. So they interpret that this actually could be the seven caves in the Aztec and some of the other native stories of the place of emergence. So it's at least symbolic of it, if not maybe the original place even, possibly. But it's connecting that. And that Teotihuacan, that pyramid of the sun with that four-flower cave underneath it, exactly almost in the dead center under the ground, is only a few miles away from Tepeyac Hill where the Guadalupe image appeared. Actually, it's in the same hill terrain complex. But at Teotihuacan also, if you look at the pyramid of Quetzalcoatl, you'll see the Tlaloc symbols, the guy with the fish goggle eyes, and he's also Kuak or whatever, and he's the lightning. So if you go read about him and lightning, you'll learn more about the lightning.
What did you say his name was?
It's like, I can't remember how to spell it. It's like T-L-A-C-O-C or something like that.
Oh, Tlaloc.
Yeah,
I know. So I want to mention the serpent twins. That, you know, these are all symbologies, like you said, of the North and South Pole, the serpents all over the world. We see that as these serpent twins, and that's where I'm going with the energy and the lightning and those kind of things. And what I want to mention is that everybody has a ball game. You know, throughout the world, we all have these various different ball games, you know, and that was what the twins go to do these games in order to, where are they trying to get this ball, and what is this ball? And this ball is life force energy, life source energy, literally. And when you understand the ball as life source energy, and it, they're trying to get, you know, the goal is to get it through that hoop, they go to the underworld, they go within to go through whatever transformation that they have to, and supposedly slay, you know, somebody, make avenges or whatever, you know, to the other gods,
right,
so that they can be reborn. The, literally, it's like when I look at that hoop, I did a poem the other day on Facebook about it, of saying, look at this life force energy. What, this is what these serpents, what we're talking about, the North and South Pole of the Hopi talking about, those guardians, if they decide to let go, like you said, all kind of things go. So what do we as individual human beings, what do we need to do but work with that energy inside of ourselves? Because we're made of the same thing. We are a microcosm of the macrocosm.
Right.
So the more we're working with the butterfly, the enchanted flower, whatever you want to call this, this four-direction symbol that we see everywhere, literally everywhere, all over the world. And, you know, it's like once I got that, I went, oh, okay. And so what is, I don't know, what I saw. I mean, I'm just starting to write about this lightning thing. And that you see as the scepter from Egypt. You see it in Thoth. He is the inner and inner connection with literally creationing.
Right.
It's like being able to create your own light is what I'm kind of saying, because it's like we've been going outside of ourselves, getting resources outside to create energy to keep ourselves warm, to light our houses, do all this stuff. But when we think about it, when we look at all these different beings all over in the past, and what is our future if we don't wake up to the realization that we are that. You know, we
yeah.
can literally generate. I mean, even simple children's, when we talk about electromagnetic energy, simple children's science things, they show you how to make light energy or energy with magnets. You know?
Yeah.
And that's that relationship that, you know, some scientists, they make a torus, you know, this
mm-hmm.
this kind of flat-looking thing, but it's actually that torus is a butterfly. It's moving like the wings of a butterfly, and that equatorial zone is where that comes together. The most energy comes together all in that center. So anyway, I'm going to be quiet. Thank you so much, Mark, for letting me share.
Oh, one other thing on your lightning. Remember in the White Buffalo Calf Woman story? She's associated with what you call, what is it, the Wiccan or something like that? And those are the thunder beings. Lightning.
Yeah, and she could turn that one guy who looked at her with disrespect into dust.
Fry-o-matic.
But I also, the more I look at the lightning, I'm realizing that when we look at lightning, and what it does when it comes up from Earth. See, a lot of people think it only comes down from the sky. It doesn't. It comes up from the Earth, and it is in the sky, too. So it's like, I've written about that as well. So when we look at lightning and its ability to cleanse and purify, so to speak, of being that electromagnetic grid like that, and we've been poisoning our water so much. So this balance of water and fire really, really needs to come back into balance on planet Earth and in ourselves, you know.
Yeah.
The honor, because we're 70% water, and water, like fire, has all the elements in it. Earth, but it's like water and fire can literally create mass, matter, you know,
yeah.
when they're together. But earth and air by them together don't. Take a look at that. It's a real interesting thing I've been looking at, and I could be wrong, but I've been looking at that. interesting.
It sounds like you're probably getting some good guidance there somewhere. Just keep following it. You'll learn. You know, if you have a desire to know, Creator will step in and help you out, especially if you have good intentions.
Well, we need to clean up our behavior for sure as humans, yeah?
Yeah, that's pretty apparent, I think. Yeah,
hey,
I agree.
We really appreciate you calling in. We have got another caller in Northern Nevada that has a question for you, Mark.
Okay.
Okay, here she is.
Hello?
Hi.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon, Mark. This is Joanne Spotted Bear.
Hey.
Hi, Joanne.
I thought that was you.
How are you both doing?
Doing fine.
Oh,
we're doing fine.
Good to hear from you.
Yeah, Pila Mia for calling in. How Kola?
Yeah. How Kola? Hey, I just want to listen. I've come down with a really bad cold, and I appreciate that you invited me onto the radio station. But right now, I think I need a listen. However, in the near future, I would love to do a radio show with the both of you to discuss the upcoming May 2015, where I'm supposed to be at the United Nations. And hopefully the U.S. will either ratify or they won't ratify in dialogue. And
yeah.
I'd like the people to listen to that. Because a lot of people who are out there, they don't know what's really going on. So if we could possibly make something happen, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that a lot. I really need your guys' help.
You bet. Anytime.
All right.
Hey, Joanne, did you notice that on the Facebook I posted that thing with the white buffalo calf woman? It had the four colors and the sconscon symbols.
I noticed it, but I've picked up a lot of stuff on my plate, and so I haven't.
Go
really
back and
said,
look at it sometime, because it'll connect the sconscon, the four directions, and also the eight-pointed star.
The eight-pointed star?
Yeah.
Okay. Did you put it in my email, or did you put it on my?
No, I just posted. You had posted something, and I posted. You had posted something about the quilts and the eight-pointed star.
Yes.
I posted a comment to that.
I think they're on the slideshow that's playing during this show.
Right.
I'm going to look at both of them.
Yeah, if you want it, I can send you a Facebook message with that image, too, because I think that there's some things about that image and that particular symbol that you might find very interesting.
Okay.
It sounds great. That sounds really good. I'm looking at the on the radio show where it's the slideshow is going, and I see an image there, and I think it's really cool. Although I really don't want to think today, because I've been
your brain's too busy with
really,
your cold, right?
Yeah.
I thought I was gonna
wind up in ER yesterday. I was feeling
Uh-oh.
So bad.
My wife and I'll do some prayers for your healing tonight when we get done with the show here.
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
Yeah.
Hey,
appreciate
guys,
you.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to hear your voice and say hello and just kind of check in, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
In.
Thank you, Doksha.
You bet. So, I'm not sure where you were, but I'm sure Spirit will lead you in the right direction, Mark.
Yeah. Well, let's see. We're going over the lightning, Wiccan, the cave under the pyramid, and so, yeah. Now, what we're talking about with the symbol, Joanne, I was trying to get Joanne to look at. It's on something I post on Facebook. It's in a slideshow. It shows white buffalo calf woman there. And then I forget which one of the miracles it is, miracle or miracle second chance at the bottom. And then in the middle there, it has this symbol of the four colors and these four green symbols. And those four green symbols are have a lot of meaning, and they tie into this whole thing we were talking about here about the directions, the two things going upward and downward, inward and outward, north, south pole, or the torsion fields or magnetic fields and stuff. And the Lakota terminology is called skonskon. And in it, if you look at the image, there will be four of those green ones. And these four things will form, if you look at it very closely and you kind of connected them all together, they'll form a Lakota eight-pointed star, which is also called the Daybreak Star, which will relate back to the Great Healer, or Falling Star in the Lakota stories. And so this image is linking on is a very complex set of information. So that's the reason I was suggesting Joanne might want to look at it very carefully, because that's a very powerful image. It has an awful lot in it. And and I was partially inspired to do that image because of Joanne's posting on the eight-pointed star on quilts. She was talking about quilt making and them selling in at pawn shops and all this stuff. So I got looking at it, and it dawned on me why that was clicking with me. I was getting a message from Creator through Joanne's posting that I needed to look at that some more. So I did, and that's when I discovered how to put this image together, and I was blown away by it because I immediately knew all the things it was connecting together. And I suspect it's going to go back and connect to Nicholas Black Elk's vision, and it's going to connect the Lakota into the Hopi, into the Maya, and the Cherokee and everything. It's going to link all that together, and it's going back down to that basic thing of creation. And the Lakota thing, skonskon, means a twisting movement. It's like that's the Russian term for their torsion fields, a twisting. And this twisting or rotation of it is related to the magnetic fields. So this is going to connect the whole thing of how Creator does stuff into the magnetic fields, into this whole thing that's going on with how creation itself is built from consciousness into light, and then the light going into the spiraling, twisting movement that's in the Diné or the Navajo. It's what they call the whirling logs. Look like two swastika symbols, just like what's on the Hopi Fire Clan stone tablet in the upper left corner there. They have one of them. You take it, mirror it, overlay it, and it's going to form that symbol on her Guadalupe image under her sash.
Wow.
So this is going to show how all these things are connecting into a fundamental, basic thing of how creation is going and Creator works. And it's what she was talking about before, about how we have to go within, not just go without. Remember I said there's two mathematics to this. One way grows things outward, away from Creator. It is the only way which you can separate unity and create a duality, but it's a perfect way of doing it. It's not an equal split, interestingly enough, but it's a certain proportion. And the reason that was important is because it will grow outward, but it will maintain a perfect mathematical unity back to Creator. So it's the only way mathematically, in mathematic terms, it's the way Creator splits unity into a duality that links back to Creator as a perfect unity. There's only one way to do that. And that's what that symbol over her womb, under her sash on the tilma, is exactly that place within the Mayan Zolk'in calendar. It's exactly, mathematically, that place. And that's provable. It's not just Mark saying it. I can whip out the measurements, and if you know how to do it, it's provable. So this is the reason it's very significant. And it's telling us probably something about this transition going from this world cycle to the next, that something different. There's all kinds of things going on to indicate that something a little bit different seems like it may be happening. And each of the people here listening to this show is a part of that. Everybody on the planet is. I would say probably everybody in our solar system and galaxy probably isn't the rest of creation. But each person listening to this show, I'll tell you a simple exercise I was given a few years ago that will help you kind of experience are it's a useful tool between the inner and the outer. And this is the way it was taught to me. This spirit came in and told me this one night. And it's not like I'm really good at listening to spirit, so I don't want anybody thinking I'm a genius or anything. It's just, you know, I just pay attention sometimes, right? Anybody can do this. So
oh, we all like know you. We all know you're a genius. Just cut it out.
No, anybody can do it. I mean, the reason Mark knows all this stuff isn't because I'm a genius. It's just because I follow what Creator shows me. I do a little bit of work.
That's right.
It's taken me a long time to figure it out, so I'm not the fastest person in the world. But I do, you know, when it's like the badger, right? Once I get a hold of something, I don't let go, or a bulldog or something. But anyway, this exercise, so this is something all you can do. And you can do it before a prayer or meditation or anything. It's a Mayan way of in Lakesh or Omatakiyasana in Lakota or Namaste or any of that. Okay, this is a way to kind of do it in a kind of childlike way. And what you do is you visualize inside of every person on Earth. So you see billions of people, right? And inside of each of those people, you see a little star, a little speck of light. And that is you inside of them. Then you turn around and you look at yourself. And you see inside of yourself billions of little stars. That is all the other people inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
You have now just connected yourself to all of them and them to all of you. Once you've done this little simple visualization, whatever you want to call it, now you do your prayer or now you ask Creator something. You've just set up a energy pattern where you've unified everything with all of humanity. And there is no separation. All of you are little stars. And the Lakota say about the stars in the sky, they say what's in the stars is on Earth. What's in the Earth is in the stars. Same idea. All these little stars inside of other people are you, and all millions and trillions of little stars inside of you are all of them. It creates a oneness. And if you really practice this a lot, you'll become telepathic. You'll
mm-hmm.
become psychic.
Yeah.
You'll start traveling without a suitcase.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
Oh,
go
ahead.
You know what? Mark Boogaloo sent me a link to a video. It's not on YouTube, but it was from 1970. And it was Mad Bear Anderson, Thomas Bunyaki, I believe Philip Deere, and another elder talking with a television program about a healing that they did on somebody. And I'll have to send that to you here in a second. And I before I forgot, I wanted to tell you about that because it was really good quality video. And you get a chance to really listen to Mad Bear.
Yeah, and Mad Bear gives us an idea of what's possible.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He could travel without a suitcase. He could travel in space and time.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. You don't need a car. You don't need an airplane. Who cares about what's going on with Fukushima and stuff? And, you know, and the thing is if you're doing that, there is a specific mathematics and sacred geometry to this and the way the Earth grid system works. And it's the geometry that builds all the sacred sites and the ley lines. And that's where the tectonic plates are the most active. So it's the growth. Wherever you see Earth growing and expanding, that's where those geometric lines are at, and very strong and powerful. And those can actually be used. I would guess that in the old days, a long time ago, these sacred sites, people could travel from one sacred site to the next without a suitcase.
Yeah.
And that's what they were doing. and they could communicate. And so when we walk in there, we say, well, it's just a bunch of rocks and stones and stuff. Yeah, they're big. We can't build them and stuff. But and they're in an interesting location. They have certain alignment with the stars. But they also have a certain alignment with the Earth's energy grid that builds. Those, what happens? The torsion fields and magnetic fields that come in form the geometric fields. The geometric fields build our reality, a holographic reality from science point of view. And guess what? All of those grid lines on the Earth are in that pattern, that geometry, and that's how it's used. And those are following certain mathematics. And someone, if they connect in, they're going to be operating at the frequency of those specific geometry and stuff, and boom, they just go from one place to the other. So, you know, all those sacred sites, they're kind of like train stations. And guess what? They're not limited to Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put a link up on my timeline. It's KPIX TV, San Francisco Bay Area Television. Mike Lee interviewing Mad Bear and the others about a healing of the activist Richard Oakes.
Yeah.
And it's excellent video.
Yeah, it's a key thing about all these things, I believe, is, you know, the thing about you said about Mad Bear and these people that are wanting to heal, because this is something we consistently see coming up with people that are guided into learning about how Creator does things and these energies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
These people are always usually have a desire to heal and help and share
mm-hmm.
information and knowledge and do something. That's the common thread amongst all of them. They're always have this inner desire, just real powerful desire to help and help our planet, help other people, heal people of diseases or whatever it is. And those people, when they have that desire, what happens when you do that, you're like opening, and when you really believe it and you have a strong desire and intention, you know, Creator really responds to that pretty fast. And he'll help you out a lot. And
oh, yeah.
He'll learn a lot. And so, and then you'll be given, you know, that I would suspect the reason that Mad Bear could travel without a suitcase, for those that don't know what that means bilocation. That means you walk out of your body, or in some cases you can just manifest another physical body on the other end if you need that to communicate with people. But you don't have to have a car, airplane, or whatever to travel. You just go there, and you can go
yeah.
there pretty darn fast.
Oh, by the way, Richard was one of the original elders in the White Roots of Peace Council. He was a Mohawk, and there's an article
uh-huh.
up on Wikipedia about him. Apparently, they bought him a couple extra years because he died in 72 and the video was 1970. And, you know,
yeah.
sometimes, you know, that's what it takes. I know Joe Sitting Owl, he passed away last year, but his wife told me previously that, you know, she had been through the death of one husband. And after her first husband passed away, she married Chief Joe, and he was getting ill. And she told me privately that he had the smell of death on him. And after the green corn ceremony, which Terry Miller told me that's what it's for, it's to extend the life of our elders. She told me that it was fine, and it bought him another year or more. And just by going to the ceremony. And but yeah, anyway, sorry to get tangential on you there. I want to let you know about that.
Well, you know, that green corn thing also ties in with, because in the one of the things that they say about Our Lady of Guadalupe image is that's also an image of the corn maiden.
Mm-hmm.
And then what's the Cherokee name for that?
Selu.
Selu?
Selu.
Selu, yeah.
Selu, S-E-L-U.
Yeah. So when you're looking at the Virgin of Guadalupe image, you're looking at Selu. And
mm-hmm.
if you're looking at it, what I just lost my train of thought here. I hate that when that happens. I had remember I said the stars, the Big Dipper?
Uh-huh.
That's on there again. The second star map that's on the Guadalupe image is those stars. And then, if you look at that four-petal flower underneath her sash on the Guadalupe image, okay, if you saw that as the end of an ear of corn, that would symbolize what the Hopi call the corn mothers.
Yeah, there's all kinds of mysteries. If you do a Google search for Guadalupe, Guadalupe, and the word tilde, Tilda, and go to the second link, Our Lady of Guadalupe, the Mystery of the Eyes. There's a lot of mysterious stuff. There's a bearded man, and there's some.
There's actually about. I cover that in my first DVD, especially the. The eyes, they did computer scans, and there's been about, I don't know, more than five different groups of people that have analyzed this. The last one, I think, was Tonsman.
Yeah.
He worked for IBM, and he did a massive, very large amount of eyes. But what they find is in the eyes, they find images in those eyes, and they find those images are curved at the exact curvature of a human eye.
Wow.
It's called a PK something curvature. And so... there's some very unique things about this image that are scientifically, provable things. They're not just, they can't even figure out how this thing was done because the actual image, the pigment is not made out of animal, plant, or mineral source.
Mm.
They know that. Also, the image itself is made, put on a very coarse cactus fiber or mogwai or whatever the hell they call it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very rough and coarse, and it doesn't last very long. But this thing is now 500 years old or close to 500, and it's normally that fabric only lasts about 20-25 years.
Oh, I misspoke. I said Tilda. I meant Tilma.
T-I-L-M-A.
M-A, Guadalupe, right.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting is that image is actually wrapped around the fibers of the tilma, the cactus fibers. So it's not just a painted-on image. It's literally wrapped around it, each of the fibers.
Wow.
There's some very unusual things about that image. Now, the other thing, though, is if you look at it with our eyes, and see, this is where people, the scientific part, they does good. But the native part is going to tell you something as or even more important. And that is the direction that she's looking on that tilma, she is looking into the future.
Mm.
Because her eyes, her head pointing that direction means future. And her eyes looking downward a little bit would symbolize moving through the underworld, a transition. So you take future and transition, move through the underworld, one world cycle to the next. So she's looking down, which means through the underworld, but she's looking into the future, which means you come out of the underworld into the new sun or the new world cycle.
Amazing.
Which is what the rays of the sun around her are signifying too, as
mm-hmm.
well. Now, if you draw a line through that four flower symbol straight over from side to side, directly, from her mantle on the left to her mantle on the right, straight through, a straight line through that four-petal flower system, and you kept extending it out to where her eyes look down and meet it, that is going to be mathematically the point where the new Zolk'in calendar takes effect. And it's mathematically precise.
Wow.
That's provable. It's not just Mark saying it. You can take the measurements if you know how to do it, and you can prove it. I like things that are provable.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Now, I was taught something about that years ago by a creator, because I was starting to buy into all this stuff where people say, well, just, you know, just work with the right side of your brain. You know, who cares about the left analytical mathematical side, right? You know, and I was starting to buy into that whole story. You know, this really what you want is a balance between the two, like male and female. You don't want the next world age to be just all totally feminine. You don't want to be totally masculine. You want a balance, a harmony between the two. That's what you want. Well, I was buying in this stuff about, well, you know, just use your right brain, you know. Now, Spirit stepped in pretty fast and taught me a little lesson about that. What it told me is that go look at the Greek statues, right? So I went and looked at them and said, wow, you know, these things look pretty damn good. They actually look so good, they look like they could get up and walk.
Yeah.
Then Spirit says, well, go look at the Roman statues. So I go look at the Roman statues, you know. And Roman statues, well, you know, they just aren't quite up to snuff, right? They're okay. But they don't look like they could get up and walk. They didn't look alive. So the Spirit's saying, well, why is that? I said, well, I don't know what. I don't have the clue. Well, why the hell is it like that? Spirit said, well, the Romans used the right side of their brain and picked a pose, right? The way the statue's going to look, the theme, or whatever you want to call it. Greeks did the same thing. But said the Greeks did something else. They used their left brain, which knew the mathematical, analytical side of the patterns of creation, and they measured the damn statue and made sure it fit. And that is why it looks alive. So what I was given there was a lesson. I was given a lesson to respect, you know, both sides of my brain. Because I wasn't respecting the side that everybody sees me for, what she said earlier about doing the math and numbers and geometry and all that stuff. I was starting not to respect that. What is my talent, my gift? I was starting to say that, buy into what everybody else is saying, trying to change myself into something that I'm not. And I got a quick lesson from Spirit to learn how to respect myself. Or anybody else should do the same thing, too.
Yeah.
So we're seeking a balance. You know, it's not about male, female. It's not about this, that, and other. It's about a balance. The Hopi even say this. Now, if you look at what was the film they had years ago that what's-his-name put out, Kanza Squatty or something like that. What did that? And it was just a film. It didn't actually have a story or anything. It's just a bunch of images and music and stuff, right? And it meant, the Hopi word means life out of balance.
Mm-hmm. Tetsuo Kachi. Alan Kent George's film.
Yeah, but that's the whole thing is about life out of balance. And so the lesson here for us is to seek balance. And what is that in terms of what we talked about in the, you know, like the North and South Pole? Okay, if one of those is out of balance with the other, what happens?
Yeah.
Something happens on Earth, right?
Yeah.
But what happens when they're in balance? You have a perfect balance. At that point in time, if you ever do that, that balance in Tesla or other people would call it zero point.
Hmm.
That's where Creator is at, a still fulcrum or a still point, perfectly still. Nothing going on there. It's just still. But out of that perfect balance comes our entire creation. And it unfolds in two types of things. Light, magnetics, torsion, whatever you choose to call it. And we can call it different things. But it's two things that move through each other. The twins, the Hopi twins, move through each other, positive, negative, whatever you want. And they void each other and become each other. And they just keep flip-flopping and doing that. And that's basically all creation is a bunch of that happening. And that's what the two swastika symbols mean. That's
mm-hmm.
what the whirling logs, all these symbols that we see all over the world, these two symbols, that's all they are. They're just a Lakota Skanskan, that's what it is. But there's a key part of it that we as people, as human beings, as spiritual beings, that we're involved in this, and that is we interact. We have the ability, we have consciousness that drives those things. So there's a little bit something different here. Our consciousness, our awareness, and our spiritual things can understand these things and use it with intention. And in the best cases, we use the intentions of good things, of healing, you know, like the Hopi say, have one heart, not two hearts. And when you do those things, well, you start to have abilities. Like Mad Bear Addison traveling without a suitcase. He's not the only one. There's been many, many people on Earth that could do that. Like I said, that's not limited to just bopping from one place on Earth to the other place. You can go from North America, South America, you could go anywhere on the planet. You could go anywhere in the galaxy. You could go anywhere in the universe. I would guess you're probably not limited to time either. But there's one key thing. Love one another as I have loved you. The intention, the healing, the desire to help, be one, to have that kind of attitude, that is the key. If you do that, and if you focus on that, and really change yourself into that, Creator will give you an awful lot of things that you'll be able to do. That's the key that unlocks the door. And so anybody that does that, you're gonna get a lot of abilities, and you're going to have the ability to help change, you know, your life and other people's life as well. I believe that is a big, big part of where we're headed for this next world cycle. I believe that's why the Hopi, this world that we're in right now, their word for it means world complete. I believe it means we have the possibility when we step from this world cycle to the next world cycle, our next world cycle isn't going to end in greed and corruption like all the other ones have been doing. We have a chance to change it. And we have people all over the planet that have been learning about the things we're talking about tonight. Probably a lot of you on the show have been given things in your own life that you're learning about these things and learning how to use them. And then as we do this and connect with each other, it becomes very powerful and strong. And that's where Creator is taking us. Creator is taking us directly back into Creator, into unity. But a unity in which we can exist in both ways at the same time without having some of these problems that we have right now, like greed, corruption, wanting to be the big shot, take over the planet and run everything and turn everybody into slaves. You know? And to respect each other, you know, to respect what each of the races of man, the four races, each of those have, male and female, all life forms, all aspects of Creator and creation, that we have the ability with our consciousness at our best, we have the ability to work with that and work with Creator to do things that in the future are going to make traveling like without a suitcase look simple.
Well,
I believe that's where we're moving.
You're really going to mess up Stewie's, you know, Stewie on Family Guy. You're really going to mess up his plan for world domination.
Well, the problem is, you know, the problem with world domination is even if you succeed, you lose.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
What are you going to do? I mean, does the person really believe that they're going to be satisfied, that they're going to be fulfilled, that they're going to be happy? No. They're still going to have an empty void of shell within themselves, and they're never going to be happy and stuff, because the only thing that makes really people really very happy is when they're using their own gifts, knowledge, wisdom, whatever they're given by Creator, in service to others and help unify and work with the creation.
Yep.
That is the only thing that makes you happy and satisfied. When you're doing that, nothing else matters. That's what the Christians call doing the will of God, right? Doing
that's
God's
right.
will, because that's what God's will is.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple.
Well, you know, on that note, I'm getting my wife is having some kind of problem. Probably got to sign off, and we'll see everybody next week.
Okay.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
Good night.
Hey, good night, Mom.
Take care.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
Grandfather, teach me the ways of the old, so that I may